I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by IoT.next. This is the third in a series of podcasts with IoT.next, and I'm pleased now to welcome back Nico Steyn, the company's CEO. Nico, good to see you again, this time on day 103 of lockdown. How are things your side?
Yeah, thanks, Duncan. Thanks for having us again. And yeah, interesting times. We were talking to some guys this morning. Everyone's talking about the new normal. I think we're in for, I think life has changed as we know it. I think certainly post-COVID, it's going to be a different picture.
For sure. Now, Nico is joined today by Andre Jacobs, who is the Chief of Product Engineering at IoT.next. Andre, it's good to have you on the podcast. Welcome to you as well.
Thanks, Duncan. Good to be here.
Now, we're going to be talking about the subject of innovation today. Innovation is probably something we don't see enough of in South Africa's IT sector, with many of the large players in the industry historically building their businesses on the back of reselling and supporting international technology vendors. There have, of course, been a few exceptions to that rule. I'm thinking about Mark Shuttleworth's Thought Consulting, which was sold, believe it or not, I think it was 21 years ago now, to VeriSign for many billions of dollars. And of course, there was Fundamo, which was sold to Visa also for a huge amount of money. So there is some really good innovation that comes out of the South African IT ecosystem as well. And I think IoT.next is a company that fits in that into that mold. In fact, Nico, the company was created on the back of an idea to solve a business challenge. What was that challenge it was trying to solve?
Yeah, thanks, Duncan. Yeah, I think, you know, it is interesting. Don't forget Elon Musk, eh? Please don't forget about him.
Is he really South African anymore?
You know, when I go to America, I mean, I claim it all the time. But anyway, yeah, he's something else, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I just think in terms of if we think about IoT.next and where we actually started, and I've always said that to the team, you know, I'm a strong believer that constraint often is the friend of innovation. So when you're constrained and you're in tough situations, you often have to innovate to sort of circumvent or come get around a problem. And our initial foray into this space really was not an IoT project. Well, we didn't realize at that point, but really it was, it required a specific innovation, and that innovation really spoke to being able to unpack, which then later became, you know, a big part of our business and is today, you know, a real pillar in terms of what we've developed. And those constraints were really around network and bandwidth and having disparate systems sitting in a very sort of secure environment and being able to get data out of those devices. And, you know, nothing was available. And we literally had to go and sort of figure it out for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And in that process, obviously, IoT.next was born. So really that constraint, that difficulty that we had, you know, led to the innovation, as it often does. You know, when you're faced with a real problem, that's really when the juices get flowing, and that's when you need innovation.
Now, Andre, your title is Chief of Product Engineering. It sounds like a very role very much in the innovation space. To tell us about your day-to-day job.
Yes, Duncan. I manage a number of teams of software developers. Those are the guys, the really smart guys in our business that create all these wonderful products for us. And as you can imagine, there's a steady stream of bright ideas coming out of that space the whole time. And we're very keen to implement all of them.
How do you direct those guys? How do you direct that innovation, ensure it flows in the right direction?
I think we've been, thinking about this, you know, how do we manage more and more people as we grow for a number of years now. And what we've managed to do quite well is to create these smaller, say between 4 to 8 team people teams. And within those teams, they are free to innovate and to implement what they're busy with. So okay. The only way to do it is to actually do it from the bottom up.
All right. Well, Lekko, you guys see innovation as really important to IoT.next growth over the years and the success of the business. And of course, I think everyone listening to this podcast or watching this podcast knows that you were acquired by Vodacom. What are some of the innovations that IoT.next has been involved in with us over the years that you can share? And Andre, feel free to come in here as well.
Yeah, so I think I'll let Andre maybe talk about some of the stuff. I think importantly, you know, IoT.next, it's almost felt like it's been innovation from day one. And I think part of that stemmed from the fact that when we really got into this space, not too many people were really, especially in the local market, really delivering on the promise of IoT. So a lot of, it almost feels to me that we've been in a constant cycle of innovation. Mm. Especially around product, and not only product, by the way. So what we're seeing now, right now, is a lot of innovation required in terms of how we commercially construct, go to market, how we deploy it. So it really has been a journey of innovation, understanding that we're chartering and moving into areas where no one kind of really played before, or maybe played in a portion of that. But I think, you know, there's been a massive shift in terms of the normal world of compute, data, storage, and as we move into a more sort of mature phase, hopefully now for IoT, because really it has been quite adolescent in terms of where the market has been. But as we see that shift, you now hear things they become daily topics, things like the edge, abstracted edge. Core, these types of concepts, which actually they were there in terms of the world of IT, but I think it's become a lot more defined, and through that, you know, there's been a lot of innovation unpacking that and understanding it, because I believe in some of those fields we're world leading in terms of understanding it. So it always is more difficult, I believe, when you're doing it for the first time. It's always easier, much better, to follow once someone's actually done something, to say, oh, okay, well, that's the method. And often the innovation doesn't just sit in the code that's been written. A lot of that innovation actually sits in the method and the thinking in terms of how you tackle problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Andre, what would you consider as the standout innovation devised by IoT.next over the years?
Yeah, Duncan, I think there's so many things, like Nico say, it's like this constant cycle of innovation. You know, as Nico said, these terms are often well known, but I think it's how you actually implement them. Mm-hmm. We've, you know, way back when we started, everybody's talking about cloud and how cloud was going to absorb all of this data. And at that point, we were very much focused on edge gateway and really crafting that and making sure we understand that quite well. And I think at that point, what we did was quite innovative, especially in the way that we said, you know, bring it, we'll connect anything. We never stand back from a challenge. We're always keen to make it work. And I think through that, as Nico said, there's a lot of forced innovation almost. You know, you get into a project, kind of looks easy in the beginning, and you're sort of forced to make it work as you go. Where we are now is interesting. We, as people are starting to migrate towards the edge now, we're starting to see that there's this intermediate layer at that sort of near edge, or what some people call core, that sits between the cloud and the edge, that you really need to intermediate and just collect, sort of act as an intermediate layer between those two. And we're very much focused on that right now. And building that out, and I see a lot of innovation through that as well, in the way that we're just making it easier for ourselves to tackle these big projects. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm really excited about that right now. It's all about scale right now and getting that right.
So what does this intermediate layer between the edge and the core do? What function does it solve?
So we still call it Raptor or vRaptor, which is actually a term for virtual Raptor. And it's like this this super gateway that can connect other gateways. Okay. So we had in the past where we had the Raptor that connects to our backend, our Commander IoT platform. And now we've implemented this vRaptor that sits in between and can handle a lot of that load, that intermediate load. So what we do now is we connect Raptors to vRaptors to just lessen the load on the backend, because as we see, this thing is scaling quite quickly. Mm-hmm. You can't have all of that connecting to into a single point. So this actually helped distribute that load. Actually, load balancer is a fail safe that, you know, if something goes down, there's something to pick it up again and continue the operation.
Maybe take us through some of the use cases that you've been involved in and how this technology is being applied in the field.
Yeah, so I think maybe the one thing I should mention, Duncan, is this V-Raptor that Andre touts.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to call it the T-Rex. and let me just place it on record. I was unanimously voted off because they felt that the T-Rex was extinct. but I just felt, you know, we have raptors, we have T-Rexes. It's actually a family of dinosaurs, you know. But I think that's where I must really miss the plot. And with that V-Raptor, Virtual Raptor, these are the types of...
Starting to sound like an episode of Jurassic Park here.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so that's where I lost the argument. But I still think T-Rex is a cool name. So let's take it offline, Andre. But I mean, and maybe we can put it out... as a poll, but anyway, be that as it may, Duncan. Yeah, I think from our perspective, some really interesting innovations that we've been busy with, I think in the building space, and it's really topical right now, is how one occupies a building and how one manages that building is going to be very interesting moving forward. We can see right now with COVID, you know, the way that we operate is fundamentally changing. And from that perspective, it's really going to be important for people and businesses to understand their office space, optimize that and be very efficient. So, you know, when you have a workforce of X amount of people and a percentage of those decide to come in into the office on a specific day, being able to do that intelligently and being able to optimize your space, your energy, your lighting, all of those components really become very, very important now. You know, we've done a really interesting deployment into the head office of Vodafone in Paddington in London. And there we've brought multiple disparate technologies that we've brought into that, where we're, you know, being able to reserve desk space, understand occupancy within the floor, movement of people, being able to implement and overlay with that things like social distancing. So actually being able to understand, you know, where people are moving and making sure that they're not too close to one another, etc. Mm-hmm. So really some wonderful innovation and deployment that we're busy with currently there. So I think the smart building space has been a lot of talk about it. A lot of people have been, you know, doing parts of it. But I think really... to be able to deliver true value in that space, you have to, or, you know, you have to have a holistic sort of approach, which means that you're interacting with the tenants, but you're also and monitoring and controlling the environment. So the HVAC systems, the systems that are utilizing energy, you know, cross correlating that to occupancy and optimizing that. Is really going to be key, and I think we're doing some awesome work in that space. I'm very excited about that.
Andre, do you want to jump in here with one or two other examples of where the technology is being used in practice?
Yeah, sure. I mean, maybe just to wrap up the building, the smart building side of it.
Yeah.
Especially there, we saw it was a very good combination between the older type Raptor technology and the V-Raptor, where we had physical on-site, you know, connectors that we had to connect to a physical air gateway through Raptor, and in the virtual stuff where we could pick up smart sensors almost in a cloud-like fashion to just bring that in as well. And now the combination of it is quite powerful. It's beautiful. You know, we focused on quite a few things. The simplest form of use cases right now is things like looking at energy usage for various businesses and bringing that in across quite a wide area, and through the back end start looking at billing, the actual billing to those customers, and then also things like water meters, start managing water meters, and then it's, you know, it can get very interesting. There's various other things like we recently IoT'd a biltong plant, so monitoring all the humidity and the heat within that, all the various rooms, and alerting the owners as soon as there's an issue so that they can take action and not spoil their meat. So, you know, it could be applied to anything.
Great. Well, guys, the business was founded, Nick, am I right here, 2015?
Yeah, in fact, November 2015.
November 2015. So coming up to your fifth birthday. But already in 2016, you were identified by Gartner, the big analyst firm, as one of the six aspiring innovators, they termed it, at the Gartner Symposium IT Expo held in Cape Town in that year. And then you were a finalist for Innovation for Emerging Enterprises at the 2016 Technology Top 100 Awards and the winner of the category Management of Technology for Medium Enterprises at Technology Top 100 in 2019. Nico, what has this recognition contributed to the company and its innovation focus?
So I think it really almost endorses what we're about. I really do believe that innovation is centric to what we do. And we really drive and aspire towards that, you know, and it is a fine balance because, you know, as much as you innovate, you also have to be in a position to balance that with a strong commercialization. Otherwise, you just end up innovating cool stuff, but it's not necessarily, creating value. So, there is a key sort of skill or art, I would say, to be able to bring a balance about between that. And ultimately, what you want to do is really just to continue to stimulate that innovation. So, and we've just had an internal, it's called Crushing Corona. And we have these on an ongoing basis where, we'll set a challenge and people can obviously enter into the competition. And then it's almost like a Shark Tank type of environment. So, and some really fantastic ideas. Not only did we have a winner and a runner up, but, you know, a lot of the concepts that were tabled maybe weren't winners, but certainly are things that we're going to incorporate and consider. So I think, you know, the requirement is for businesses like ours is really to continue to reward that, but also help facilitate it and create a safe place where people aren't scared or afraid to think out of the box. Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of companies in the technology space see innovation in the technology as being innovating for the technology that consumers are going to use. But there are other aspects to innovation, right? How is innovation applied in other areas of IoT.next business?
So, Andre, you can answer after me. I think it's what I alluded to earlier. You know, I think especially if we look at where we are right now, an ever-changing world, rapidly evolving into this digital space, a lot of the innovation hasn't just got to do with the product, and obviously you need to have that. It's not negotiable. Mm-hmm. But at the same token, you have to be innovative in terms of how you bring it to market, how you price it, how you cost it, how you deploy it, where you target it. And the key is to all technology. Ultimately, it needs to be able to add value, right? So you have to be able to unlock value. And often that also has to do in terms of how you package it. So I think, you know, and being able to convey that message and make sure that the value proposition in terms of what you've developed is being translated well enough for people to actually understand and consume. So I think, you know, your business model, how you actually take things to market, how you launch it, there's quite a lot of innovation that has to take place around that. And certainly I think what we see is being able to tailor make that and having a model because not all projects are the same. In fact, most projects are different. Even if in the mining industry, I often use it as an analogy to say, you know, you might be mining, you know, talking to guys that are mining coal, they're all mining coal, but they all do it potentially in a different manner. So being able to extract the right portions of the technology, plug that in and overlay that with something that translates into value for the customer, you know, I think that is key. And then obviously once you go into a mass scale rollout, we're busy with one right now where we're rolling out to over 7,500 sites. You know, and you've got 100 different installation teams which aren't yours.
Yeah.
You know, how do you actually make that scalable where people can actually go out, deploy this technology, which in itself is pretty complex, but to do, you know, doing that in an easy fashion. And I think that for me is almost sits at the heart of our business, is being able to make difficult things seem very easy. And I think that is the secret, is being able to take out complexity where there's complexity, you know, really being able to simplify to the extent, you know, that people can actually use that and work with it.
And I guess, Andre, that's easier said than done.
Yeah, I know. We like to tackle those tough problems. You know, the founders and the leaders of the business really have a can-do attitude, and we press quite hard to make these things happen. But yeah, especially on those big rollouts, there's lots of innovation happening almost on a weekly basis. Especially on the operational side, you know, these guys they're exposed to all these challenges, the pain points, and they would come back and say, "Hey guys, you know, if we can tweak this, you know, this will be much easier for us." And through that, we work a lot of things into the technology, but there's also quite a number of things that we can do to improve the process internally and so on. So if you look back, it's like you know, where you started off and where you end the project, it's completely different. And it just sets you up for the next project. Where at the beginning of that project, you're probably not geared, but at the end of that, you're pretty much ready for that next one.
Yeah.
Really important to take those back.
Is Andre, is innovation for innovation's sake a challenge? I mean, how do you decide that you're perhaps innovating in the wrong direction?
Yeah, I mean, that can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we have sometimes guys that want to play with interesting things, and that doesn't quite fit.
Yeah.
You know, we had a drone flying around the office for a while, and it didn't quite fit in most cases. But you know, it was cool to play with. So yeah. You have those kind of things.
Yeah.
But interesting enough, as we grow, there's lots of ideas, and it's through these competitions, these internal competitions that we have. You can see some of that that's practical, but I would say a large number is interesting, but probably not ready for any market at the moment. So
I can imagine it can be challenging at times, because I think trying to manage a team of engineers is sometimes like trying to herd a bunch of cats. They've all got their own interests and they all want to pull in their own direction. So I guess you need a strong leader to make sure everyone's pulling in the same direction.
Yeah, Duncan, I think if I can maybe come in on that, and I think, you know, Andre Jacobs is most probably one of the most efficient guys in that space, you know, and I think it does come down to leadership and being able to clearly articulate where we need to move. So you know, when you're in uncharted territory, it's very, very important, because people can pull into different directions, and just being able to clearly articulate what it needs to look like. And I think, you know, from our perspective, you know, a lot of people think of IoT.next as Raptor. You know, that's a part of the innovation. I mean, we have a, you know, fully fledged end-to-end stack and platform, you know. So we're deploying platforms into a lot of the countries right now where Vodafone is present. You know, we're busy deploying we've actually already deployed into Kenya. We're busy with Mozambique. We're busy up in the UK in a very, very secure type of environment, etc. And really making sure that people are focused on that is key. And I think there I have to say that I think we have some of the best guys in the business driving and guiding us in terms of, you know, making sure that our innovation is delivering, again, on the promise of IoT.next.
Just lastly, and I know this is the hot button issue of the moment because of COVID-19 and the lockdown and all the work from home measures, and that's, of course, digital transformation. But maybe just a parting thought from you, Nico, on how you see IoT.next's innovation driving digital transformation.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, what COVID has done, I mean, it's obvious it's been an accelerator on different levels. I think, you know, having the ability to be able to control and visualize almost a digital twin of your operation, and being less dependent on people per se, in other words, to flick a switch. I think that's where we really see IoT coming into its own. You know, we see manufacturing, the mining sector, all of these sectors that have been really affected are really reaching out and looking to technology to help them cross the divide. So I think, you know, where a lot of them were talking about it, taking a bit of a stab at it here and there, I think we see a much more intentional approach in terms of the requirements. For us, it's quite exciting because I think it has, it really has brought a lot of justification to what to a lot of the things that we've been saying. And it, I think in terms of what IoT.next is doing is being able to support that ecosystem. I think a lot of the policies and sort of the values that we've adopted from day one, I think those are really coming to bear. And it is almost 5 years. And what's great about that is to be able to see, us coming full circle, closing the loop, and really seeing businesses, enterprise, consumers really starting to gravitate towards digital technology. And obviously from that perspective, IoT is a part of that. And I often say to people get confused in terms of, IoT and digital, or AI and machine learning and all of these different things. IoT, has a specific role to play mm-hmm. in this part of digital transformation. It is foundational in terms of being able to access that sort of base layer of data and automation within your business. So being able to digitize assets and bring efficiency, productivity, visibility around that is key moving forward. And I think that's being accelerated. So I think from that perspective, we've been unbelievably busy during this period of COVID. We haven't really missed a beat. In fact, we're scaling up as we go. So I think it's very, very positive for us at this point.
Well, I think a rare success story in very challenging times indeed. Nico Steyn is CEO, of course, of IoT.next. And Andre, I mispronounced your surname at the beginning of the podcast. Apologies. Andre Jacobs is the company's chief of product engineering. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with Tech Central today.